Who are you like? You know, the Lord, it says at the beginning when he created us in his image and his likeness. Who are you like? And what is he like? We were talking about this earlier. It's a couple of scriptures that tell us. Matthew 11, well-known verse, and verse 29. Come unto me, 28 and 29. O you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. I am meek and lowly in heart. In another place, 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What is he like? What are we like? I am meek and lowly in heart. It's kind of amazing. The God of the universe, who is so great. I mean, we make bigger and bigger telescopes. We put them out into space. And we have cameras that can view the sun. And the sunspots come up. And send probes as far as we can go. And they keep finding more stars, more galaxies beyond that. And, you know, you walk out at the ocean along the coast and you look out and you see all this water. And we're so small compared to the earth. And the earth is so small compared to the sun. And the sun small compared to the solar system, compared to the galaxies. And there's how many galaxies? They can't find an end to it. This is the one who says, I am meek and lowly in heart. We think of somebody who's that great. We don't think of them in terms of meekness and lowliness. Greatness, majesty, power. And then we look the other end of creation. We look at ourselves, and it just so happens our bones have to be formed in the right way. And over that are our muscles, and there's these bloodstream goes to every one of them, and there's sensors that go to all the hands and feet so that when you walk, you just happen to walk on a stone, you immediately feel it there in your brain. Immediately tells you, don't step hard there. And your breath takes the oxygen, passes it on, your digestive system. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then you get microscopes and keep looking smaller and smaller. We find smaller and smaller particles and haven't found the smallest. And in between is space. You know, if you can keep finding smaller and smaller particles, it kind of makes you think that everything was made out of nothing, you know, because we're all space. It's his word. This is the great creator who says, what's his character? I am meek and lowly in heart. Philippians 2. He's ever in the display of Godhead glory, in the form of God. What Isaiah said, holy, holy, holy. I can't say anything. His majesty fills the temple. And it says there, he emptied himself, set aside the glory, took the form, he had always in the form of God, took the form of a servant. He was servant. Minded, slave, a slave mentality. We grow up to learn the slave mentality. That's not a good thing. So you have a slave mentality. Somebody tells you to do something. Say, what am I, your slave? No. He took the form of a slave. And then it says he humbled himself to go to death, even the death of the cross. What's his character? Meek and lowly in heart. Humble. Humility. Are you like him? Do you have an ego? You know, the Greek word for I is ego. Ego. Where we get ego. I. And sometimes you might say, well, I don't really have a big ego. You know, we know what big ego is. Big ego is somebody who struts their stuff and they let everybody know how great they are. You know, their pride and arrogance shows up. And in Scripture, we have many examples of that pride and that arrogance. But where did it all begin? Isaiah 14. Verse 13. And notice the I. For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heavens of the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Talking about Lucifer. Talking about Satan. Where sin first came in. Who did we follow? Who are we like? The God of the universe who says, I'm meek and lowly of heart? Or the usurper, the one who wants to be like God, wants to be greater than God, who says, I. Think about it. Our first parents in the garden, there's the Creator. Brings them in paradise. Everything there, display of his love and goodness and grace, except testing in one area. And there's the devil. You know why God didn't do that? He won't let you eat of that. You won't be like him. Same thing that the devil, the temptation came in his heart. I will be as God. We fell. We decided that we knew better than God. God said one thing, don't eat of that because if you do, you'll surely die. And our parents said, I'm superior to that. I know that. Every time we disobey God and his word, we're saying, we're superior. I'll be more. I know more than God does. The self of I. And the world commends you to boast of yourself. They think for people who are having, you know, kind of low self, there's two forms of I's in Scripture. There's the big I and the little I. The big I is like Satan, I'll be the, or like Pharaoh, who's the Lord that I should obey him? Or Nebuchadnezzar, is not this great Babylon I have built? As if with his own hands he did it all, you know, and nobody else helped him. No honor to God. But then there's the little I. I can't do that. Moses, God says to Moses, I want you to go and talk to Pharaoh and say this to, I can't speak. That's the little I. That's the little ego that we have. Or if you get depressed because you're not as good as somebody else. You're not as strong as they are. You're not as smart as they are. You're not as pretty as they are. You're not, that's I also. That's the ego. I should be like that. They should take recognition of me. people put you down. You feel judged. Or you despise. We had in Romans 14. When you despise somebody, you say, I'm superior. When you judge somebody, you say, I'm superior. It's the ego. It's the I. Who are you like? Who are you following? When the Lord created us to be like Him, we follow the listen to the wrong one and went our own way. And in almost every sin, you can trace back somehow pride is involved. In the next chapter, we find a brother kills his brother. Why? Well, his brother's offering was accepted, and his wasn't. Jealousy. I feel put down because that person was treated as superior to me. Didn't God know that I'm superior? I. Jealousy. The whole our whole age today is to push pride. Somebody with low self-esteem, got to tell them, oh, you're. He needs more self. He needs more I. That's their solution. Doesn't help him. Doesn't honor God. No thought of giving honor to the Creator who made us for His glory. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get. And always play the victim. We live in a victim age. Everybody's a victim for something or other. And there's not only aggressive people, but there's microaggressive people. Anything you say that I might dislike, I might be offended, I can justify and I can get back at you because you've offended me. You're a microaggressor. You know, it's your fault. How about strife? You get into arguments with somebody. It's all about I. Who wins the argument? It could be about the stupidest thing. And I want to win it. There was an old Seinfeld one where Kramer was at the zoo and the monkey started throwing stuff at him. And so he started throwing it back and the zookeeper came and took him in and he said, well, he started it. You know, we always want to justify ourselves. The other one's worse. It's not my fault. They started it. And then all I. Thankfully, the Lord made a new creation. One other thing about pride, about self. The Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians 2, says he exalts himself above all that is called God. Where are we heading towards? The Antichrist is called by two names. He's the liar and he's the lawless one. Ever hear of anybody in government? They're characterized by lying and lawlessness. That's where we're heading. The Antichrist will head up that group. But pride, there's a verse in 1 Timothy 3:6. Says this about pride. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Could be translated, lest being blinded by pride, he fall into the... Actually, the word for condemnation is krima, the crime of the devil. You know, pride blinds you. Pride blinds you to your own selfishness, to your own I. Funny thing about it, though, it doesn't blind you to other people's eye. Do you ever notice that? They're proud. Those people are arrogant. And usually they rub you the wrong way the more they're like you. But you can't see it. That's the problem with a blind spot. You can't see it. You can't see it in yourself, but you can see it in others. And no wonder the devil works through pride to create strife and fights and eventually wars between nations. All the levels of pride. But the reason I even got into this subject, because I was surprised, I shouldn't have been, to find out how many verses the Lord talks to us as believers that we should be humble and lowly and forbearing and forgiving so that there be harmony among the saints. Let's just go. I'm going to turn to another number of scriptures, but I think it's worth looking at them all, even though there's many of them. Let's start with, first of all, our relationship to God. Isaiah 57. So I'm doing sword drills here quickly to turn to these verses, but it's worth seeing how many are brought out. 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And it is also his character as he's meek and lowly of heart. I dwell in the high and holy place with who? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What should be our character? Who are we like in the new creation? To be like him. That's who dwells with him. Look at Psalm 51, David's psalm of repentance. And verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David saw all the outward form of religion and bringing of sacrifices didn't mean anything if it didn't match the contrite and humble spirit before God. And before each other, let's look at verses. 1 Corinthians 4:21. The Corinthians had a lot of problems. Paul says to them, verse 21, what do you wish? Shall I come to you with the rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Even in matters of correction. Galatians 5:23. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. First chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if any man be too overtaken into fault, you are our spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is the opposite of the I, the putting forth of the ego. Look at Ephesians 4:2. And when he's talking about the oneness of believers, just before he talks about endeavoring to keep the spirit, the unity of the spirit and bond of peace, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's the slave mentality that the Lord Jesus portrayed in John 13. Nobody else got up to do the customary washing of the feet. That was the slave's job. none of the 12 got up to do it. The Lord. And it wasn't a fake. I am meek and lowly in heart. I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Who are we like? There'd be very little strife and fights among believers, or in the world for that matter, if we followed his example. Long-suffering, forbearing. How long do you forbear? People do little things that irritate you. Even that, why does it irritate me? Because it's I. It's my ego. I feel put down. I feel that they don't realize how great I am. What's the matter with them? You know? Meekness and gentleness, lowliness. Colossians 3:12. You know, we looked at Ephesians. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Before Paul in Philippians 2 talks about the mind of Christ, he says, esteeming others better than yourself. And again, you do that by having the character of Christ. That's the new creation that he creates within us, to have that in display. 1 Timothy 6, 1. Is that the right verse? Oh, no. It's that the man of God... 11. Thank you. But thou, O man of God, follow these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Correct it. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Look how many times it's brought before us. James 1:21. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. As we read God's word, be open to him to cleanse us, to show us what we're like, so that we can be more like the character of Christ. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, if we come across haughty and proud, and we can sometimes do that, especially you say, well, those people who believe in evolution, they're a bunch of idiots. They haven't even thought about the things. You know? That kind of spirit comes through. You know, and I've done it. Or you come with somebody, and you're looking down on them. You don't have to say a word. You sense it, even they do it to you. We have to be careful that we don't do that to them, that they reject our gospel because our spirit is showing what's the opposite of the gospel. The Lord had, that was the thing about the Lord. The meekness and lowliness of Christ was what drew them. When he's dealing with the woman at the well, when he's dealing with the woman caught in adultery, there was a drawing power that didn't condone sin. Exposed the sin in a way that still drew them to himself. And if we answer people, when they ask us, what's the reason of the hope? We need to do it in the right spirit, meekness and fear. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then James 4:10. I should have said it before. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. When Moses first comes before God, take off your shoes, for the ground that you stand on is holy ground. Even the thickness of his shoes made him too high in the presence of the holy God. So it starts, you know, with our humility and lowliness. Starts when we get a view of the greatness of our God. When we come in prayer, we come before him in worship. It's amazing. He says, where two or three are gathered to my name, I'll be in your midst. What a promise. It's unbelievable, really. When in the midst of this motley crew, you know, in the midst of us, well, we know what our hearts are like. He knows better than we do what our hearts are like. And yet he still wants to come in our midst, wants to be with us and fellowship with us. Even though we, look what we did in Genesis and our family, moved away. Said, I'll live, get to the descendants of Cain. They built their own city. And basically said, God, if you don't want me the way I am, I'll make my own civilization. I'll make my own life without you. I don't need you. But I'll make sure I blame you if anything goes wrong. If I go my own way, make my own decisions, and then reap the consequences of my own ways, I'll blame you for it, God. That's the world we live in. The only reason they take up his name is to blame him for something they don't like. If he's such a good God, if he's so powerful, why did he allow that to happen? Even though I caused it, even though I violated and ignored what he said and warned and said, don't eat of it because you'll surely die. And I said, I know better. It looks good. And he only said, lest you die. Oh, yes, he said, you'll surely die. And you know, there's a warning in this against going more, saying more than God's word, than even less. Because God had told Adam, don't eat it, you'll surely die. When Eve quoted it, she said, don't eat of it, lest you die. Now, or don't even touch it, lest you die. Now, where did she get that from? Did Adam kind of, he knew God said, don't touch it, you'll surely die, to make sure Eve didn't even get close. Well, God didn't say touch it. He said, you'll surely die if you eat of it. But maybe Adam said to Eve, so that she wouldn't even get close to it, don't even touch it, lest you die. And then she touched it. She didn't die. Maybe I won't really die if I eat of it. Looks good. I mean, there's no other tree that God said don't eat of it. Maybe he didn't really mean it that way. Whatever, he listened to the suggestion of the devil. Then she ate of it. found out, she surely died. And then Adam, when she gave it to him, he knew he'd surely die. And yet he disobeyed outright. Disobeyed outright. And brought on what a mess to the human race. The choice of ego. I'll make my own decisions. I'll do what I want. And that's this, we're born, you know, from day one, we see I in our children. Parents saw it in us. I, me, my. Those words come out. And we live with it so often. We need a new creation. We need to have a new creation. The old one is absolutely corrupt and could never please God. And God knew it. And he says, well, I'm going to make you new. I'm going to make all things new. We're the start of it. And it's going to be like him. Our character will be more like him. Unfortunately, when we get saved, we don't automatically become more like him completely. We do have a changed life, but we still have the old nature we have to fight with. Before that, we didn't even fight with it. Eventually, the old nature will be gone and we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. And we'll be in that new creation. We'll enjoy the wonders of God's grace. There'll be plenty to learn about how wonderful he is in the new heavens and the new earth. But in the meanwhile, God wants us to display his character. When people put you down, how do you react? I remember at a conference one time, I said it before, one brother said, you know, we're all willing to admit in Romans 7 that I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But don't let another brother say it about me. Then you find out if you really believe it. You know? Because the eye will jump up real quick. Well, I'm just as good as you are. You know? What's the song? Whatever you can do, I can do better. That's the eye. I'm better. I'm even a little bit better. Don't accuse me of being less. I'm not as bad as you. Not as bad as you. When people come to Christ, God convicts them to the point that if there was no other sinner in the world, they were the sinner. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? Pharisees, I. Ego, you know, it's all what I do. The publican stands back, humble and contrite heart. God, be merciful to me. And literally, it's the sinner. It's not focused on, I'm not as bad as the other sinners that are there. I'm the sinner before you. We stand before God as sinners, but call upon him, we need mercy. God hears that prayer. That man goes down to his own justified more than the Pharisee who didn't think he needed to be justified. He was too good. He could not mention all the goodness that he had. Never be justified that way. Salvation is for sinners, for people who have to admit they're sinners. And those of us that have trusted the Lord, we know. We know only too well that we're sinners saved by grace. But as we've had this morning, sung this morning, it's a wonderful grace. I mean, it's wonder-filled grace. It's beyond what we can imagine that the Creator would do what he did and that loved us, loved me to do what he did for me. That's amazing grace. Shall we close in prayer? Lord, it is amazing grace that you would do what you did for us. You were the meek and lowly one. Your gentleness, your humbleness, how low you would go to save us and to make us like you, Lord, in character so that others would think of you, not us. They would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Help us, Lord, in our dealings before you, humble and contrite heart, before one another in meekness, lowliness, forbearing, forgiving, esteeming others better than ourselves, your mind within us. We pray, give us your grace to put it into practice. In your name, amen.